See you guys again. Good to see my old friends, and such a blessing to be here in Clovis on their 33rd anniversary. We had such a wonderful week in the Lord. God visited us in a big time way. Last night, I felt God's power and presence in this church. It was wonderful. It was absolutely dynamic. And I'm believing and trusting God that He's going to help us here today. It's just us dudes, right? And so let's keep it real. We don't have to censor because we have ladies in the house. And so I'm just going to keep it real with you dudes. And so if you have your Bible, let's open up to Matthew 22, verse number 15 through 22 we're going to look at. Once again, Matthew 22, verses number 15 through 22, we're going to look at it in the Word of God. I remember years ago, for those that are old enough to remember, there was a poster that said, "Uncle Sam wants you." And many of you remember that it had important. He's pointing to Uncle Sam wants you, and just saying that it's time for men to sign up and be a part of the military. Back when it was an honor to be a part of the military, now people join the military for other benefits that they can get rather than serve the country. They're trying to get college paid for, whatever. I'm not going to get off into that, but that's the real. The thing about the military is that they just don't own a part of your life; they own you. And so those that have been in the military and those that are maybe still in the military, you understand that they just don't own a part of you. When you join the military, they actually own you. They tell you where to go. They tell you when to get up, even though you may have a dream sheet of where you want to be stationed at next. They're going to put you where they need you, and you're going to shut up. And I talk to guys all the time, and they're like, "Well, you know, I got my dream sheet of where I want to go." I said, "Listen, bro, they're going to put you where they need you to be. And because they own you for X number of years, you're just got to get with it. You may be unhappy, but dry your tears, pull up your pants, because that's just the way that it goes." How many know that Jesus doesn't want just a part of us? Yeah. He wants us absolutely every part of us he wants. Now, before we read this text, Jesus is dealing with some hypocrites, and no one wants to be called a hypocrite. But here we have some people in this text that were hypocriting. I don't know if that's a word, but it is tonight. And so hypocrites are people that profess one thing but do another. And I'm just so glad that we don't have any hypocrites here tonight. That's what I'm so glad about. We don't have any people here that profess one thing but... people who possibly claim to be God's people but really do not serve him. These people are hypocrites. We meet people like that. They're even hypocrites in our churches. They say one thing, but their lifestyle is showing something totally different. And so these people, they're asking Jesus a question for the sole purpose of trying to entangle him. And that's all the religious people constantly tried to do. They constantly tried to ask him questions to try to entangle him. And so we know Rome ruled over Israel, and the Hebrews hated the Romans. The Pharisees, they knew that Jesus was an ethical man. That's what vexed them about Jesus. The Pharisees couldn't wrap their mind around Jesus could eat with sinners but not sin. They messed their head all up. And they couldn't get with that. So here, they knew he was ethical and that Jesus would agree that the taxes should be paid to Caesar. They also knew that the people hated Caesar. So if Jesus could be publicly shown to agree with paying taxes, the people would despise him and they would no longer listen to him. And if Jesus said that the people should not pay taxes, then they would entangle him and he'd be guilty of sedition. And so they're trying to snare him. And so Jesus, being as masterful as he is, we're going to see what Jesus did. He's a bad dude. Can somebody say yeah? I said Jesus was a bad dude. He wasn't no sucker. Can I get an amen? No sucker savior for me. It says, "Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are true." Gosh, these guys. "And teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness, and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and God the things that are God's." When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. God, we thank you tonight for your grace. I thank you, God, for these men that are gathered in this house. And God, I pray that tonight it would just be one more thing that we can lay a hold of that can make us better men of God. God, we don't want to just occupy space. We don't want to speak just empty rhetoric, God. But let us be men that are sold out for the purposes of God. We give you praise, honor, and glory in the most wonderful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So here's the crux of the matter. Jesus, he struck these people right where they lived. He busted them square in the face like he always did. He asked, he said, "Show me the coin, show me the money." And he pointed out that Caesar's name and inscription or image was on the coin. The image of Caesar and the name of Caesar was coined, which signified that it was Caesar's property. You follow me? The image is on the coin. The inscription is on the coin. Since the image denotes property, Jesus said, we must also give God what is God's. Man has been made in the image of God. I wish I had somebody who could help a brother here tonight. Jesus told the Pharisees to give their lives to God, indicating that they had not done so. So they're trying to snare him. And he said, "Listen, you're not going to be able to snare me." He told them, "You render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and you give to God the things that are God, because I can tell by the way you're living that you've not done so." He says, "You're hypocrites because you profess one thing, but you're doing something diametrically opposed to what you say." Jesus said, "If you want to know if I give to Caesar, I want to know if you give to God." Do you know that? That's the true test of life. Jesus said, "If you're asking me if whether or not I give to Caesar, I'm going to ask you, do you give to God?" I want every man to know something here. There are things that we owe Caesar. And when I was thinking about this message, I'm simply saying that we are and we should be good citizens. You shouldn't be a bum. I need an amen from somebody up in this house. You shouldn't be a bum. You should be a good product of society. You should work a job. And if someone pays you 8 hours for 8 hours work, you should work 8 hours and not 6 and a half. Holler at me, somebody. So we should give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. That means that if somebody hires you and they say, "Okay, I'm going to hire you. You're going to work for me from 9 to whatever. I'm going to pay you $25 an hour." Then you should give them $25 an hour of work because that is what they pay you for. Oh, I can tell I lost some friends here today. I can tell I lost some friends here today. We should be honest people. You should pay your taxes. All up in the business on Friday night, huh? You should pay your taxes. I know sometimes people say, "You know something, I just made all this money under the table. Shh, don't say nothing." Dude make $50,000 a year and don't pay no taxes. That wasn't even in my notes, right? You guys are getting nervous. Your little butt cheeks are tightening up. Ease up, man. Ease up on the chair. Relax. Shake yourself. You should help your fellow man. We should be men that live here on this earth, and as we trek through, that we leave this place better than what it was when we got here. Amen. But we got to remember that God owns Caesar. And I think sometimes that is where people miss the boat a little bit. Since the image and the name both indicate property, And since man was created in God's image, we must be people that live for him entirely. I want you to understand something. It is you that God wants. Because you and I belong to him. We've been made in his image, it says in Genesis. And his inscription is on us. We're not just believers. We've been created to be God's possession. That means that he owns you. The same way that your boss owns you for 8 hours. When your boss has you for 8 hours, you don't shot call. Oh, can I get a witness? They own you for 8 hours. You may not like it, and the only way that you can remedy that is quit. If you're working a job, you're like, man, ain't nobody gonna be owning me. Quit and be unemployed. But as long as you are working, and as long as your boss is signing checks, woo, they're shot calling. They own the company. They got the bankroll. They're keeping your family in the house you're living in. And so God says, you've been made in my image. I have graven thee on the palm of my hand. You belong to me. And the Bible says in Matthew 7:21, you guys don't mind if I preach for a couple of minutes, do you? It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, there is a whole lot there that we can't delve off into here today. But these people cried, Lord, Lord. They did many deeds in the name of Jesus. But the truth is, all the deeds that we do aren't really going to matter that much when we stand before God. Because deeds alone won't cut it. Because if deeds would make you right, these people would have been right. You missed a good spot to say, preacher, preacher. I know some of you that is messing with your theology because you think it's all about doing. If it was all about doing, the Pharisees would have been right. If all you had to do is a bunch of stuff, listen, folks, we do a lot of stuff. My days. I mean, we church on Sunday, church on Sunday morning, church on Sunday night, men's discipleship, church on Wednesday, church on Thursday, concerts on Saturday, outreach on Saturday, Bible study on Friday. Listen, folks, we do some stuff. And the problem is when you just become one of those people that are just doing stuff. I mean, come on, folks. Here these guys are saying, Lord, man, we prophesied in your name, and we cast out demons in your name. Man, they're looking at me, hey, man, what about all the good stuff we did? He said, I don't even know you cats. Can you wrap your mind around that? He's like, I don't even know you. What's your name is? You know what? He wants you to represent who you belong to. He wants us to represent who we belong to. His name on you means you are his property. Jesus said to the people that are just responding out of deeds, he's going to say, I never even knew you. He can't even lay claim to them because he doesn't even know them. And the sad part about so many good people in our churches in these last days, man, they do a lot of stuff, man, but I don't know sometimes. He says, I knew what you did. I know exactly what you did. I saw the healings and I know about the miracles, but he says, you missed the point. He says, you missed the point. He says, I don't just want the deeds, but I want you. I just don't want the stuff. I want you. I want all of you. Oh, you listen to me, man of God. I just don't want you doing a bunch of stuff. You know, folks, if we're not careful, we start to be men that go around the kingdom of God doing a bunch of stuff. And God says, listen, that don't please me. I want you. Listen, Jesus did not die so that we could just do stuff. He didn't shed his blood that we could just do stuff. He died to buy us. And he didn't die to buy 8 hours of our life. Hear these men. They're pointing to things outside of them. And I think we can all be guilty of that. When somebody asks us, are we serving God? We'll point to things that are outside of us. Yeah, I'm serving God. Look, I did blah, blah, blah. It's all these out. It's kind of like your wife wants to know if you love her or not. And you're all with all this other stuff. Hey, I love you. You know I love you, girl. I came home. Don't that count for something? You know I love you, girl. Come on now. You know I love you. I'm still here. Oh, not still here. I didn't leave you that one time. And she's like, that's a strange kind of love. The kingdom of God, into which these people wanted to enter, has a foundation and a cornerstone as well as a door. And in 2 Timothy 2:19, we know the scripture, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The cornerstone inscription denotes who the building is dedicated to. That means that when you and I say that we're Christ, it should be indicative of who we belong to. It denotes that the people who belong in this kingdom must be the possession of the Lord, so that when we say that we're Christians and we say that we're born again and that we know him and that he knows us, that means that he owns us. Let all those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In Matthew, Jesus pointed to the people and he told them, depart from him. I don't even know you. Because he really knows those who are truly his. Can you say amen? And if you profess Jesus, then it should be very evident in how you live. I'll say it again. If you and I profess Jesus, it should be indicated in our life. If you give your life to him, he'll clean you up. He'll wash you up. This is the promise that he has made to those that belong to him. How many believe there's something powerful about the name of Jesus? Amen. And it's so powerful that he says, listen, I don't want you in deeds alone, because there's a lot of people that make a lot of professions, but their life don't match up to what they're saying. He wants you. I want every man of God to understand, he does not want just us doing busy work, but he wants us. He's like, render not your deeds, nor your words. Render yourselves to God. I say, render not your deeds, nor your words, but render yourselves to God. Like this, the Caesar's coin, Caesar's image, is on that coin. Jesus said, give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. But don't forget to give God the things that belong to God. Amen. You know what I find nowadays? That people aren't concerned about the will of God anymore. I don't even hear people talk that much about the will of God anymore. Talk about all kinds of stuff. You know, the will of God involves you personally. It is not some abstract thing that just falls on the whole church. But it's something that falls on you and I personally. Jesus was a man that was consumed. He said, I come to do the will of my Father. It is something that just didn't occupy a pocket of his life. Listen, you're not going to be able to do God's will and only take it, it'll only consume 4 hours of your life. It has to be your life. Amen. Oh, I'm preaching better than you guys. Let me know I'm preaching right now. Jesus said, listen, I come to do the will of my Father, everything that involves it. See, Jesus understood that you can't apprehend everything that God wants for you without your entire life, you personally. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. See, so often we get weird and we think you got to either or. Well, you know, I'm giving everything to God. That means I'm a bum. Holla. You know, I'm doing the will of God. That means I'm a slouch in every other area of my life. But God wants you the same way that Uncle Sam and that poster said, you know, Uncle Sam wants you. I believe God is looking. He's like, man, I want you. I want you entirely and completely. And I think where discipleship has fallen off the rails in a major way is that we have people that are Christians just by profession. But the Lord says, I know those who are mine. Listen, you may fool a whole lot of other people. Jesus said, I know those who are mine. We can be walked around the church doing all kinds of things, but Jesus says, I know those who are mine. Good deeds won't cut it. God is not your Father unless you are doing his will. Listen, it may hurt. Let it sting. He's not your Father. If you're not doing his will, he's not your Father. You're serving somebody else. But he's not your Father. Jesus, his life was enveloped and consumed with doing the will of God. And so Jesus is looking at these Pharisees trying to trap him. He said, God knows you. He knows what you're doing. He knows that you are a hypocrite. He knows that you are in name only, but the problem is you're not seeking his will. In Hebrews 1, verse number 4, it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he made by inheritance obtain a more excellent name than they. You know, Satan hates the image of God. That's why it's so hard for people to serve God, because he hates the image of God. We've been made in the image of God. He wishes that he could be like us. But he can't mess with God, so he'll mess with you. Vex you, get you all sidetracked into this and all sidetracked into that, all wrapped up in this and all wrapped up in that. And then when it comes to the kingdom of God, people had no energy. They had no more focus. They had no more passion. They had no more time. I tell people in my church, listen, I know you're tired, but you're not tired from God business. Don't try to run that on me. I've been around too long. Pastor, I just don't have no time. I'm like, okay, let's sit down and talk about your time then. Let's keep it real. Let's break down 24. I heard on the radio here in town, this pastor was on the radio, and he was just talking about how Christians are always talking about how much they're doing for God, but he said most people don't do jack. He said most people don't do anything. So this man here right now, you talk about, you know, just, man, just tired, but it just like seems like I just don't have any time. Why? Because actually you're giving Caesar way more than what you should give him. Caesar's getting OT. And then the one who actually owns Caesar can't get nothing. See, Jesus said, I don't want you to get it twisted. Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but I want you to know, my father owns Caesar. So listen. So work your job, be good on your job, be a good example, but remember that God owns the company that you work at. Jesus said, don't try to snare me. He says, I want you to make sure you get it right. Whose image? And so my question to you is, whose image? Are you Caesar? Satan doesn't mind you just saying, hey, I'm a Christian. Praise God. CFM. All day, every day, baby. He's like, whatever. You know, that used to work back in the old days. You know, you just, you know, fellowship. So you stay around a while. You start peeping some folks out. You're like, you're talking a lot of trash. You stay around a while. I'm not the oldest dude, but I'm for sure ain't the youngest. 28 years, you see some stuff, baby. Satan doesn't mind you doing good deeds. It's like, whatever. Because he knows you're not going to enter the kingdom of God on that alone. He doesn't mind you even knowing the Bible. He doesn't mind you doing any of those things. If he can keep you from doing God's will. Do you know that if Jesus would have came from heaven to earth and went through all that he went through and not done the Father's will, all for naught? Just like you and I, if you come all this way, because there's many, you got powerful testimony, you come all this way, from the streets, from wherever, from insanity, from whatever place you come from. You come all this way, and the enemy can keep you from God's will, you lose. If he can get you wrapped up in rendering everything to Caesar, and when it comes time to rendering something to God, you have nothing. The devil knows. The Son is in the image of the Father. Whoever's in the image of the Father gets the inheritance. So he knows that if you walk in that power and you walk in that dimension, you begin to walk in, begin to possess things that God has called for you to possess. See, Satan heard God say, let us make man in our image, and it ticked him off. He's like, oh no, don't make him in your image. Make him in an image of Cousin Pookie. Because Cousin Pookie ain't got no power. Can you say yeah? The devil was ticked off. He knew that the one who has the image has the inheritance. And I'm going to wrap this up, if that's ever possible for me. You know the fight that we have now, men? And I got a disclaimer. I'm not trying to preach a message tonight that is going to like be the all-in-all discipleship sermon where we're going to stay here for 4 hours and I'm going to touch 50,000. If we live to have another discipleship next month, let our prayer be, God, just give me one more little nugget. God, just give me one more little morsel. As you meet in your men's meetings at your church, let your prayer be, God, just let me just get one more thing to where I can get further away from my flesh and closer to your heart. That's all I want. The enemy never wants us to give to God what we should. Never. 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 I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I have a young lady in my church, and she sent me a text. She's missed church so much, she didn't even know I wasn't in town on Sunday. And she's like, Pastor, I'm not going to be there for the rest of the month because I have so much homework. And I got the text like right before church started. It almost messed me up last night. Because I'm sitting here, I have my phone, I'm getting ready to turn my timer on for me to preach, and this text pops up, and she said, I can't be at church for the next month because I have to serve Caesar. I mean, go to school. Now, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with going to school. There's nothing wrong with going to school. But are you going to go to school and undo everything else? That's what I'm finding with people. They're going to pick up all of this stuff and then leave God, the one who purchased you, the one who bought you. I can't, oh, Pastor, I can't serve God. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't be involved in things, God, because I'm serving Caesar. That's some of you. You work so much. And some of you, it's not like you work so much because you have to. You work a lot because you want to. You want to. You've got yourself in an economical a place to where you're living way above what you should be trying to live, trying to floss. Trying to make everything better. Like, man, yeah, you got it going on, man. Now you can't pay for that car if you don't get OT. Now Caesar owns you. This wasn't even on my notes, man. I don't. Holy Spirit, what are you doing? So now you can't come to church. Shooting pastor with all these goofy texts all the time, Pastor. Because that makes you feel good, huh? Just being accountable. Just being accountable. Just want to go on record, Pastor. Just going accountable. And you're not even the only one I text, Pastor. I text Brother So-and-so. Not going to be there. Not going to be there. Going to be late. Not going to be there. Not going to be there. Now, see, what you got to remember is that your text is probably not the only one that he's getting. So Pastor is going back, and he's like, and half his church, he's looking out over the congregation. He's looking like, I guess Caesar had a party. Because his image is on us, we're precious and we're rare. That's why the devil fights you so hard, because his image is on you, and you're precious and you're a priceless commodity. We need our eyes tonight, and I'm closing. I promise you, I'm closing. I smell some food. when I turned this way, I was like, woo! You know what we need tonight, honestly, men of God? We need our eyes to be open to the riches of the kingdom of God. That's what we need. We need our eyes to be open to his inheritance. We need our eyes to be open once again to understand the power of the benefits that are found in doing the will of God. My pastor told me a long time ago when I was just a young disciple in church, he said the safest place to be is right in the middle of the will of God. And I want to challenge you to open your eyes. Some of you, maybe God is convicting you. You're like, man, you know what? I know I have to work, but I cross over into a dangerous place. I know I have to function in society, but I'm in a dangerous place where I'm rendering more to Caesar than what I am to God. Because God just doesn't just want us to come and do stuff and say that we love him. He wants us. And we need to realize the value of the inheritance that he has for us. People who do not seek the will of God, they don't see the benefit of it. Because if you saw the benefit of seeking God's will, then all of us would be doing it. Jesus did not go to the cross because it was an in vogue thing to do. Jesus went to the cross because he saw the benefit of the cross. You need to say amen. Some of you missed it. I said he saw the benefit of the cross. The reason why we can walk in favor, faith, victory, inheritance, and possession, what God has for us, is because Jesus obeyed the will of the Father even to death. That's the benefit of doing the will of God. Satan wants you, but he does not own you. I need an amen. Amen. The Lord has bought us and he has purchased us by his blood. And the challenge is simple here tonight. God wants you. Amen. The kingdom of God needs you. Amen. We owe a debt to society. I know that. But I owe everything to him. Your boss pays you for 8 hours. You give them the best 8 hours that you have. You know what we need tonight? We need some men to give the Father the best life that you have. So God, you don't just own 8 hours of me. You didn't just buy $25 an hour for me. The price you pay for me is priceless. And you own me. And I'm going to give to you honor, obedience, and tribute. Say, God, I'm going to give you honor, obedience, and tribute. Yeah, you owe it to Caesar. But Jesus said, render to God what belongs to God. Some of you have been messing around with God's will. Stop messing around with the will of God. Stop tinkering with God's will like you're working on a car on the weekend. And every once in a while, yeah, I'm going to go work on a carburetor. I'm not tinkering around with this. Come on, church. We're not tinkering around with this. Let's do this. See, I'm jumping all the way in this because it's great benefit in this. It's wonderful inheritance in this. I've been made in the image of the Father. Satan, I know you hate me. That's why I'm not going to give you me. I'm giving the Lord all of me. I'll render to Caesar what is Caesar's. But I'm giving God what belongs to him. Can we do that here tonight? Amen. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before God. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, men, for your patience. Thank you for your attentive hearts. I so appreciate that tonight. As we're here, we're waiting in the presence of the Almighty God. Enjoying his presence. I want to say thank you, men, for driving from different cities, New Mexico and Texas. Thank you. So I know I'm not the best preacher, but I believe that God gives me something to say from time to time. And I believe that God is speaking to us. God, we need to change some things that we can be better men of God. We need to get some things right because, see, life, just living life, it'll begin to consume you because that's how Caesar is. That's how the world is. The world will consume you till there's no more room for the one who made you to serve him. Till there's no more time for the one who has purchased you and bought you with his blood. There's no more time, no more room, no more energy, no more focus, no more devotion, no more honor, no more obedience, no more tribute. Everything's going to Caesar. And the sad fact about so many people in the house of God, that's what's happening. Find ourselves becoming hypocrites. And what we profess is not really who we are. We find the Pharisees indeed only. They were doing, they said, have we not? He said, don't you understand? I want you. I don't just want your stuff. I want you. I want your life, but I need your heart attached to that. Right now, the Spirit of God is speaking to us. And I just want to pause right there. And I want to speak to some people that have come here today who aren't Christians. You're not right with God. And you, listen, I know we're part of a men's meeting and maybe somebody invited you. Maybe even tricked you into coming. They say, oh man, I'll take you out to dinner. And here you find yourself in a meeting like this. You're like, hey man, I thought you were going to take me out to get something to eat. You know, they did that because they love you. They wanted you to just hear of God's grace and hear of his mercy and hear of his favor. And that maybe you would get to partake and get to be a part of the kingdom of God. But he doesn't just want your church attendance. He doesn't just want you carrying a Bible. He wants your heart. He wants you. And if you would simply turn your heart over to him, say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm without a Savior. And I want to get my heart right. You lift your hand quickly all over this building. Lift your hand, front, back, left, right, all over this building. You lift your hand. You say, yes, that's me. Pray for me, Pastor. I want to get my heart right with God all over this building. God is here. Maybe you're here and you're backsliding. You say, I want to get my heart right. You're a backslider. You lift your hand right now. Say, I want to come back to Jesus. Come on. Lift your hand quickly. Lift it up. Say, yes, that's me. Amen. As our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I'm not going to re-preach my message. I'm going to make a challenge. Rendering to Caesar is limited. And it's defined by rendering to God. What is Caesar's is determined by the fact that everything belongs to God. Be a good man in the world. Be a good testimony. Be a good worker. Pay your taxes. Help your fellow man. Leave the earth a better place than what it was before, but on top of all of that, give to God what he deserves. And there are some men here today, you say, God, I've not been giving you what you deserve. I've been giving you leftovers at best. And I'll slap a title of ministry on top of that. I'm doing my ministry. I'm involved in ministry, but you know you're doing that ministry, but your heart's nowhere involved. And how sad it would be that we stand before God, preachers and disciple alike, and God says, listen, you stand up there, you're saying all those things, but I wanted you. I wanted you. He wants us. Those that have been made in his image, he wants us. He says, listen, I've inscribed you. I've purchased you. You belong to me. But just because you belong to him doesn't mean that he can have you. But I believe there's some men here today to say, God, you know what? I long to do your will, oh God. And let me be a man that my will is enveloped in your will. Let me be a man that walks as my Savior Jesus walked. And he was a man that walked in honor. A man who walked in obedience and a tribute to the reason why he came. The reason why God birthed us into the kingdom is not just heaven, but that he can manifest his will through us. And if you say here tonight, God, I long to do your will, oh God. Here I am, all of me. Use me as you like. This altar's open. You come. You find a place to pray. You kneel down before the Lord and say, yes, God, use me as you want. Render to Caesar The things which are Caesar's, render to God. The things which are God's.
Bowing down before your holy lifting holy hands to you.
God, help us. Spirit of God, breathe on us, oh God. Raise up men who long to do your will, oh God. Who hunger and thirst. Who hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God.